year of the year. Special chashivas. Baruch Hashem is a very nice man in learning. I would have liked to say shmooze last night. Being knocked out, I wasn't able to. I'll just start off the shir, almost a minute, with an interesting yisoid. So we're trying to get into the ruach of Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yosef, work more with you during the second Seder. Shura, everything. Try to get the proper tehillos from Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that one of the 24 ways of tshuva, 24 ways to get a good mishpat on Rosh Hashanah, besides vidui, besides all the fasting, all the serious parts, he says one is learning Torah. Torah has a power to help a person do tshuva. So it's hard to understand. I mean, we know Torah is a mitzvah, it's certainly a very important mitzvah. But what does it have to do with Rosh Hashanah trying to do tshuva? So, simple. The simplest pshat is that tshuva itself on an avera is very hard. Avera is done already. It's very hard to erase it. And there's so many averas that we don't know about. It's very hard. Tshuva is very hard. But what's the final, the tachlis of tshuva is to return. What are we returning to? That's the purpose. We're returning to Hashem. The more averus a person does, the further away he gets. The more mitzvahs he does, the closer he gets. So if the purpose, if the real deep end result of tshuva is kiruv, to get close to Hashem, now we understand the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Devar Hashem, the Torah, which is the Devar Hashem, is the closest way. That brings kiruv. Because if you're interested in somebody, and a person sends you a letter, gives you a book that he wrote, so if you're interested in the person, you review it, you're careful, you're proud of it. So the more we attach ourselves, the more we're interested in the Devar Hashem, that's how we can automatically, it's like sort of a roundabout way, even if we don't hit the averas themselves, even if we don't do as good a tshuva on the chatoyim, but we can have a direct way to get close to Kaviyochel, to the Borei Olam, through learning. We're holding now in Inyan, the last part, in Inyan of Meitav, which is very difficult. But I think the Sagdom is also, it could help us to finish off this Inyan properly. If not, another Inyan of Meitav, there'll be a lot of rules with Subin, with Kesef, and Kaiser. What really doesn't matter, it's how's the halacha lamaisa. But if you realize that this gives a pleasure, this gives a nachas ruach, this is how we show appreciation to Hashem for last year and we hope for next year. So it you take it more seriously. In order to understand the sugya, there's a lot of interesting points, a lot of different details. But in order, I'd like you to picture when we're learning this year, if you yourself had a court case for $5,000 and you had somebody who you were trying to get the money out of, and you have three ways to get paid up. That's really the sugya today. Either land, take a piece of the person's land, he owes you the $5,000, or cash, or place he's in the shirt business. So he can give you 1,000 shirts worth $5 each. You have to picture. Some people would like money, some people, if they're in the shirt business themselves, they might take the shirts. So what we're going to do is, if you listen carefully, you're going to see that it's not just a lot of words, a lot of details, but you'll picture it. When we say kesef, you have to picture a check for $5,000. Karka, you picture a piece of land, a lot that you could build a house on or whatever, sell. Or metaltalim can mean watches, can mean shirts. Now, if you'll take it, you'll see there's a lot of different possibilities. Hopefully you'll gain from it, you'll enjoy it. And this will be, before Rosh Hashanah, this you'll finish off the beautiful month of learning with a good feeling of accomplishment. All right. The sugya starts like sort of in the middle of the Gemara, right in the middle. Rav Huna comes along and says, Rav Huna Omar, oi kesef, oi meitav. When a person goes to get paid up for damaging, either money he collects or he collects land. Now the Meforshim, Rashi and Tosfos try to first understand who's Rav Huna talking about. Why is he right in the middle of Daf Tes? Has nothing to do with it before. Why? Who is Rav Huna referring to when Rav Huna said you can collect land or money? So Rashi says Rav Huna was really connected to Daf Zayin Amud Beis. In between, we just got off into Side and Yonim, but this really belongs in Daf Zayin. What did we have in Daf Zayin? In Daf Zayin, we had a contradiction. Remember, we had a whole shiur on it in the beginning of the week. It was on Monday, the second shiur. So Sunday. We had a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says the Torah teaches us that a man pays up when he damages somebody, he pays metav sadeh or metav karma, he pays with land. By Shein V'Regel, the Torah taught us that. By the mazik of Bor, what did the Torah teach us? How does a person pay up? Kesef, yoshiv liba'ola, money, and even metaltalin, even subin, even anything worth money. So we had a contradiction. So Rav Huna is coming to answer that contradiction. The Gemara before answered it in one way, and now Rav Huna is answering it another way. Tosfos learned that Rav Huna is not going on the contradiction. The contradiction was settled in Daf Zayin. Rav Huna is going back on the Mishnah, on the Mishnah itself, not on the contradiction of Psukim. It's important just to know, like, the starting point of the sugya. The Mishnah says, what it says in the Mishnah, that kishehizik kava mazik l'shalim b'meitav aretz, the Mishnah teaches us you have to pay land. So Rav Huna is teaching us that which we spoke out from Rashi. If you remember, we said Rashi in the Mishnah, that when the Torah says land, it doesn't mean only land, it means land or money. So it comes out whether according to Rashi or according to Tosfos, Rav Huna came along and Rav Huna either answered the contradiction of the two psukim and he explained the Mishnah that a man can pay up, when a man wants to pay his debts, he could pay either cash or land. That's all Rav Huna spoke about. So now the next step of the Gemara is an obvious question. Rav Huna, till now, we always said there are three ways of paying up: land, cash, or subin, anything that's worth money, a watch or a shirt. And Rav Huna didn't say anything about it. So that's the kasha of the Gemara. So the Gemara comes along and the Gemara answers b'dalesle. Rav Huna, and this is a very important, these words b'dalesle start off the depth, the tifkat in the sugi. What does the Gemara answer? That which the Rav Huna is telling us, that when the mazik has land or money, he has only those two choices, then he cannot pay with subin. Again, Rav Huna is teaching us that the mazik, if he has land or cash, he has to give one of those two. Those are the only two choices. But if he can't give shirts when he owns cash and land, according to Rav Huna, subin shavakesef, we'll call it. Shavakesef means anything worth money, but not money itself and not land, is called shavakesef. That's what we're going to say. Food, watches, anything worth money, good watches, bad watches, that's called shavakesef. It has a value. Rav Huna says that the pasuk of Yoshev, that third pasuk, which teaches us even shavakesef, yarmulkes, glasses, anything, that's only b'diyeved, that's only if you don't have the first two choices. So as soon as you see this Gemara, Tosfos comes right away, and Tosfos says that this is a machloikus between what the Gemara says over here and what the Gemara says in Daf Zayin.
He's saying that when it says subin, that's only
if you don't have land or money. So at this point, if you remember Daf Zayin, with the Gemara in Daf Zayin, what did the Gemara say? Kol mili meitavu. That anything that you could, because there's always somebody in China, even if you have a lot of rice to sell in China, people will pay money. So anything is meitav, anything movable is like good land. And it's like money, because anything sellable, all you do is you put up a sign, or you go to the flea market, you put up a table, and there's always, from all the thousands of people passing by, somebody's going to want to buy it. So the Gemara in Daf Zayin puts all three on the same level. Three choices equal: cash, land, and merchandise. And here the Gemara in Daf Tes argues. So we have a machlokes between two Gemaras. Rav Huna and our Gemara says it's not that way. There's two levels. And we watch it carefully now. The way Tosfos says, we're going to assume that this is comes out, it's a machlokes. Tosfos brings down from the Rif, that the Rif learned that there's an argument going on there. The Gemara in Daf Zayin, which was Rav Papa, to make it simpler, Rav Papa in Daf Zayin held that the Mazik has three choices, equal choices. He's in the driver's seat, and he can give any of these three. Rav Huna in Daf Tes says no. He has a choice between money and land. But as far as merchandise is concerned, that's only second, that's second best. And the Nizik can tell the Mazik, you can't give me shirts, you can't pay me off with 1,000 shirts if you have money or land. According to Rav Papa, the Nizik couldn't, he could force him to take shirts even though he has $1 million in cash.
Papa's the town of Zion?
The Amora in Daf Zayin. And Rav Huna is the Amora over here. So it's very simple. Daf Zayin, all three choices the Mazik has. And in Daf Tes, Rav Huna argues and says he only has two choices. There's only two top first choices. According to Rav Papa, there's three first choices. Now, so we have a Machlokes. That's the way Tosfos says. Now the question is, if we have a Machlokes, who do we paskin like? But so far, you got it clear? The two, we have now a big problem. After we understand what Rav Huna is saying, and Rav Huna is arguing on what Rav Papa is saying, it seems he's arguing, because in Daf Zayin it says, "Kol mili meitavu." That means merchandise is just as good. So who do we pass on? So Tosfos brings a machlokes rishayna between the Rif and the Rabbeinu Tam. How to paskin? After we have the two Gemaras. The Rif paskins like Daf Zayin, because the Rif says those, it's really Rav Papa and somebody else, and they came later than Rav Huna in history. But they came later. When you have Amoraim, you always pass them like Basro, you go after the last Amora. That's why the Rif says we pass in Lakula for the Mazik. The Mazik has three first choices how to pay up his debts. The Rabbeinu Tam paskins like Rav Huna. Rabbeinu Tam argues. Wait, so we're going to get to it. Wait. So the Rosh, he doesn't explain, Tosfos doesn't explain why the Rabbeinu Tam argues, like Yaakov is asking. Why should the Rabbeinu Tam paskin? Rabbeinu Tam paskins like Rav Huna. And we'll repeat that we're on Daf Tes, that we are today's Gemara, that there's only two first choices, land and money. And then only if he doesn't have either a first choice, he goes to second choice. Okay, good. And now the question is, why the Rabbeinu Tam paskin like this? So the Rosh gives two explanations. Interesting explanations. The simplest explanation the Rosh says is like this. If the Gemara put Rav Huna on Daf Tes after Daf Zayin, that's a hint to us that we should paskin like Rav Huna. The Gemara could have written it earlier. So by the fact that the Gemara put it at the end to teach us that the final psak is like Rav Huna. Very simple explanation. One pshat. The second pshat of the Rosh is...
That's, I mean, that was in Basra?
That's, in other words, a different. That's Basra in terms of, not in terms of time, but in terms of where it says in the Gemara.
First Basra was what?
Was an age. Who came, who was later generations.
That's impossible.
So that's why the Rif paskin, because they were born, they came later. And the Rosh looks at it, since this Gemara is written later, that's a hint to us that we paskin, the Gemara wants us to paskin like the Gemara in Daf Tes. The other pshat in the Rif, in the Rosh, to explain the Rabbeinu Tam, is all, simple. Another interesting way. The Rabbeinu Tam held that there's no argument. There's no argument. The Rabbeinu Tam, when he learned the Gemara on Daf Zayin, which says that kol mili meitavu, that even subin, even even simple cheap stuff is metav. It was didn't mean it's metav 100% metav, and it's on the same level as cash and land. It meant like this. We thought that it wasn't metav at all, so we had a stirim psukim. We thought that it's totally no good. So the Gemara in Daf Zayin just means to say, when you do not have land or money, then it's like metav. You hear the Rosh, the Rif held that we have a machlokes between the two Gemaras. The Rif, when he learned Daf Zayin kol mili metav, he took it literally that any even cheap food is just as good as land. So if it's just as good, it's first choice. The Rabbeinu Tam, when he learned the Gemara, he looked at it relative. In other words, if you have nothing else, then is something you can bring to a flea market and get cash to, it becomes like metav.
This Gemara is explaining that Gemara.
Yeah, this Gemara is explaining that Gemara. Yeah, good. You hear? So there's not even a machlokes between the two Gemaras. That's why the Rabbeinu Tam can paskin like Daf Tes. Because the Rabbeinu Tam held that the Gemara in Daf Tes is explaining, don't think metav, it's really 100% metav, but merchandise is like a bidyevet, a second class metav. So if there's no argument between the Gemaras, so of course that's why even though it's not Basroi, they all say the same thing. So this is a simple way how to get clearly the two Gemaras. Alright.
Now, the Rosh is the second child also?
The Rosh brings down both pshat.
Who's the start of the Rosh again?
Rif held, since there's a machlokes between two Amoraim, you go after Basroi, the later generation.
Which was?
Daf Zayin. Rav Papa came later after Rav Huna. Now, an interesting shaila. According to the Shita, Rabbeinu Tam, I want to go off a little. After we have clearly the Rif Haskins, again, that Subin made, that everything is made up. All three are first choice. That's simple. But the Rabbeinu Tam, for whatever reason, in the rush, whatever pshat in the Rabbeinu Tam, what is the Rabbeinu Tam shita? You have two first choices, and if you don't have land or cash, then Subin is next. Now my shaila is, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, when a man goes to pay, he doesn't have cash, or he does not have land, right? So he has to look around, he's a merchandise, he's a storekeeper, he's renting, he doesn't have land, he's renting. But he's a grocery store. And he has different quality metaltalin. In other words, better, faster selling things, better quality metaltalin, shava kesef, and real cheap, like if I say vegetables, they have to get old, 2-day-old vegetables that they're selling at a cheap price. In other words, in metaltalin itself, in that third category, there's better subin, there's better metaltalin, and there's weaker metaltalin. So the question is, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, can the nizik tell the mazik, you can't give me from the cheaper quality foods if you're a grocer, you have to give me from the best of the metaltalin so that I should be able to sell it quicker. Some things don't sell only for people who are looking for, you know, for metzias or they're desperate. So in the Rabbeinu Tam himself, my question, I'm leaving you this shaila.
Because he said it was worth metav, right? So it has to be...
It's a second class metav, that's
right.
Should it be, does it have... In other words, according to the Rif, we have no shaila. According to the Rif, anything he could sell is just as good as money or land. So therefore, according to the Rif, we don't have this question anymore. Because to him, anything sellable is top of the line. But according to the Rabbeinu Tam, that we said that something merchandise is not on the same level of land or money. So the question is, in merchandise itself, does it have to, is there a difference between metav merchandise or weaker merchandise? That's a suffix. Or do we say no? Once it's already something that's shavah kesef, it doesn't matter whether it's good quality or not. The maaseh, there'll always be somebody to buy. I'm just leaving you with a suffix in the shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. All right. Now, so l'chara, everything is simple. We had our Gemara in Daf Zayin, and we had our Gemara in Daf Ches, in Daf Tes. We had a question: what about Subin? Right? We had a question: what about Shavah Kesef? Is Shavah Kesef as good as the two choices, money and land, or is it worse? On that, we had the Rif and the Rabbeinu Tam. Now we're going to a new shita. This is a shita, a very interesting shita. This shita comes along and makes a whole new approach, a whole new chiddush to the Gemara. Because till now, everything was fine as far as the two choices, as far as land or money. These were both equal, right? That means that the mazik, if he had land to pay up his debt or cash, could the nizik tell him, I want money, dafka, or I want only land? From Rav Huna, what do you see? Oy kesef, oy karka. According to this, so far, land and money is equal. The only question we had till now is, what about the third category? Now comes the shita of the Rama, which is brought down in the Ram. This is a new part. You listen carefully. And interesting. We touched on this a little in other shiurim. We mentioned Rashi shita, but now is the main. The Nemuka Yosef and Daf Zayin brings down the shita of the Rama, and this shita comes along, and this shita says that when Rav Huna says, O Kesef, O Meitav, it doesn't mean that they're on the same level. It doesn't mean that they have, that the Mazik has an equal choice between paying with money or paying with land. The Rama holds, O Kesef, when there's no land, O Karka, when there's no money, but when he has both, the Nizik has a right to demand money. This is the Rama comes along, and the Rama says two chidushim. The first chidush I'll repeat. I just said now, and I'll repeat it. The Rama says a chidush that the nizik can force the mazik, if he has cash, he can force him to pay cash, and the mazik cannot say, I want to give you land. It says in the pasuk, meitav sadeh or meitav kama. The pasuk is like the mazik says, I have a right to pay land. The Rama says not that way. The Rama says that the nizik can force him to pay cash. Remember, till now, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif both holds not that way. They both held that there are two first choices for the mazik. He can either give him land or money. The Rama says no. There's three levels according to the Rama. The first level is if there's money, nothing else. He can't. Then the nizik can force him to pay cash. That's so. In other words, according to the Rama, top level is cash only. Now the Rama says another chiddush. That let's say he has no cash, but he has land and shirts. This you're going to really find fascinating. If he has only either to pay up his debt with land or shirts or watches, and the nizik says, yeah, anything worth, any metaltalin, anything that can be brought to a market and paid. Now, the nizik says, I want shirts. What would you say? According to most of the shir, you would say, till now, you'd say, the mazik would say, what do you mean? I'm giving you land. You can't force me to give away my shirts. Kesef ay karka. I'll give you land. The Rama says not that way. The Rama says that if the nizik wants shove kesef, the nizik has a right to force him not to accept land. Which is different than the Rif and the Rabbeinu Tam.
The nizik has a right
to force, because he says, with land I'm stuck, I have to go to the land. Like this, the shirts I could take, I could wear them, I can go sell them in the street. What do you mean? So again, when you don't have the other, according to him, if you don't have the other one. But if you have everything, so according to the Rama, first level, let's repeat, so you'll get the shita clearly. The top sheet is kesef, he could force him for kesef. In other words, according to the Rama, if he has money and shirts, he could force him for money, because that's the top of the line. That's first choice. Second choice, if he has shirts and land, he could force him to give him shirts. So the only time, according to the Ramah, that the Mazik pays land is either if the Nizik, if they're both Maskim to it, of course, but in case he has nothing else. He doesn't own anything except the shirt on his back. Obviously, he doesn't have to give that. So then he has to give land. But where he has something that's movable, the Ramah says that's even stronger than land, just the opposite than the way we learned till now. Till now we thought that Shavu Kesef is on the lowest level. And the Ramah puts it just one level under cash. And it's better than land. So this is the Shita of the Ramah. So we're going to try now to understand how could there be such a big difference between the till now, till the Shita of the Ramah, the Rosh, I mean, the way Tosfos, the Rif, and the Rabbeinu Tam, they held that land and money is top, is the best. And Metaltalin is on the lowest level. And here the Ramah comes along and says, not that way, that Fakert, it seems that land is the lowest level. Land is the last choice. As far as the Nizik, the Mazik being able to pay with it, it's the last choice for the Mazik. Why is there such a difference between the Rishayim? So we want to explain it and say like this. The Torah wrote two psukim, right? That was the whole problem here. We're trying to figure out what should the Mazik pay up his debts with. One pasuk says the Mazik metav sadeh, that the Mazik pays land. And the other says that the Mazik pays kesef or yoshiv is either metaltel. So we have two psukim, one pasuk land and one pasuk money and metaltel. The machloikis, we show him here to understand what this machloikis is which pasuk is the Torah a favor, which is the Torah giving the rights to the nizik, and which pasuk is the Torah giving the rights to the mazik. In other words, there's sort of a balance here. The nizik, he would like to choose whatever he wants. The mazik would like to choose whatever he wants. Now the Torah HaKadosh has to decide who has the rights to pick out how you're going to pay up this $5,000 case. So what I would like to say is most Rishonim besides the Ramah, all the other Rishonim hold Meitav Sodeyu or Meitav Kameh. That's the Pasuk. That's the Pasuk that gives the Nizik, that's the rights that the Nizik has. That's the main Pasuk. The Nizik gets rights in the land of the Mazik, like we spoke about yesterday. Then the Torah came along and the Torah says like this. If the man has cash, keset. So then the Mazik has a choice. The Mazik doesn't have to give land. He can either give land, he can give money also. Right? So according to most Rishonim, kesef or karka is, in other words, it's even kesef, but the main chiv is karka. That's what the Torah says, metav sadeiv, the Mazik has a right to land. Then the Torah did a favor for the Mazik and said, you can pay with cash, because cash is just as good as land. And then as far as paying metalkalin, now we have a machloikis between the two sugyas. Is metalkalin made of mamish? Is it just like money? Or is it a one step less? That's why according to most Rishonim, the Torah puts money together with land on the same level. And then the question is there a third or not? The Ramah looks at it the other way around. The Ramah says that the main skus of the Nizik is Kesev Yoshev Libba Olov. The main power, the Torah has a right that the Nizik gets his rights from the Posik of Bor, Kesef Yishalim. So therefore, the Ramah holds if the main Posik, which is giving the rights to the Nizik, is Kesef. So it comes out, the Mazik can't push him to land. He says, the Torah gave me the rights to Kesef. Kesef is the best. Second best, Kesef Yoshev. He holds that Yoshiv, that Metaltalin, if the Nizik wants tape recorder or whatever, that also was given the rights to the Nizik. The Pasuk of Kesef Yoshiv Lebolov was the Torah gave the rights to the Nizik to ask for Yoshiv, to ask for merchandise that he could easily move around and sell. And then, last, the Pasuk of Meitav comes afterwards, that in case he doesn't have money or Metaltalin, so then the Torah says, if all he has is land, then the Nizik says, okay, if I'm stuck with land, at least give me the best land. So the question is, which Pasuk comes first? Which Pasuk is the main Pasuk that gives the rights of the Nizik, and what comes afterwards to add on? So the other Rishonim take the Pasuk of Meitav first, and they add on Kesef, to be as good as Meitav. But the main Chiyuv was for land. According to the Ramah, it's the reverse. Cash in the pocket is always the best. There's cash, you can hide, you can move around, you can exchange, everybody respects cash. So Mamela, the Ramah held that cash is the top. And as far as if cash is the best thing for the Nizik, so then Yashiv, what's easier to convert into money, the Ramah says? Merchandise or land? Merchandise is easier because merchandise has a solid price on it. Land, people, you have to go to Beis Din, you have to evaluate it. Land is very tricky as far as how much to get for it. Sometimes you can get $1 million. Sometimes next door moves in, there's somebody, an unwanted neighbor, so the land drops to nothing. The location is very important around it. So therefore, if the Ramah held that the main payment for the Nizik is the Pasuk of Kesef, Yoshev, money is the main payment. And that's why money is top, merchandise is second, and land is third. But the first Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Tam, Taisus held that no, that the main collection is land. Meitav Sodei or Meitav Karma. The Torah says, pay up with land. Maybe it's a knas, for instance, for the moicher. He should lose his money. Meitav Sodei, the Torah set up. Then the Torah said, if you give land you could always buy, money you could buy land with. So according to that, the money is only to get the land. Money is as good as land. According to the Ramah, it's the reverse. The main objection is the money payment. All right. This is the second shita, which of course is much different in terms of setting up the categories. So according to the Ramah, there are three levels of payment, three separate levels. The last shita, we'll finish off this year, is the Rambam. Depending on which psukim become the ikir and which is the secondary post. Now the third shita is, and it seems that that's the way we pass it, is the Rambam. So that's why I told you in the beginning, if you picture that you yourself have a $5,000 loss, you're going to be more interested in the Ramah, according to the which shitas. You have various different choices here. According to the first shita, the Nizik, the Mazik can pay you up your $5,000, whatever he wants. The Nizik has no say in the matter. Three first choices. According to the Rif, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, if he has two choices of money and land, and if he doesn't have money or land, then he can give you merchandise. According to the Ramah, he really has going to be a fourth shita, because in the first shita we had a double, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif. According to the Ramah, just to repeat, so you have three choices. First choice is money, then merchandise, and then land. The Rambam seems to make a combination. The Rambam shita is that the interesting. There are two first choices and one second choice. What are the first two choices that the Mazik has to give? Money or merchandise. But they're equal. It's not like the Ramah. The Ramah said first choice is money. And then the second choice, if he does not have money, then he gives him merchandise. And only the last choice is land. But there's first, second, and third choice. That's according to the Ramah. The Rambam holds that merchandise is so powerful that it's like money mamish. And the Nizik cannot tell him, give me cash. If they're shirts, if they're shoes, watches. Even if he also has $100,000 in the bank account, according to the Rambam, because it seems the Rambam paskin like the Gemara in Daf Zayin, that kol mili meitav, literally, that anything that can be moved and taken into a store to be sold is fakir. It's like money, and it's not like land. It's even better than land. Land is second choice. But if you look in the Rambam, the Nizik has a choice. He can say, the Nizik can only say, don't give me land, if you have something besides land. But he can't choose money over shirts. That's the chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam held that on the first level, this too, but not like our Gemara. Pashat and our Gemara, we started off this year. What was the first choice of the two levels? Was kesef or karka. Rav Huna said, you have a choice to pay up either money or land. The way the Rambam says it is, it comes out not that way. First choice is money or shavu kesef. Money or something that you can move around to sell. If he doesn't have money or metalkalin, then karka, according to the Rambam, you only go to collect from the karka if he doesn't have anything else. But if he has other things, he cannot force the nizik to take land. Basically, the Rambam holds like the Ramash. He holds like the Ramah, and the way we explain the Ramah Shita is that the Pasuk of Kesef Yoshiv is the main Pasuk, which gives the Nizik's the right to get cash. He holds that the main Pasuk is Kesef. He just argues in that point. According to the Ramah, there's two levels. There's Kesef, level, top level. And then shove a kesef if you don't have kesef. If you don't have cash, then you can give a watch. The Rambam says that kesef yoshiv leba'olov, if the Torah says shove a kesef ki kesef, kol mili meitavu, so the Rambam held that it's mamish like cash. When you have a watch on your hand, you have to picture you're wearing $25. The Rambam says it's not on a second level. It's just as powerful as cash. And only if you don't have those two levels, then he holds like the Ramah. And he says that then the Mazik gives land. But certainly the Rambam is going basically like the Sheikh of the Ramah. Yeah?
So where does the Rambam get it that he can say, I don't want land?
Just where the Ramah got it from. The Ramah also holds he could say, I don't want land. Because I explained to you, the Ramah, they have rayas because they keep saying that the benefit is in order to, they bring rice, zil torach v'aisil kesef, from the Havamina. The Gemara says, I might think, even from our Gemara, one of the rayas is from our Gemara, we have to be a Havamina, the zil torach, sell to get cash. So you see from that the most important thing, cash is always the top one. From the Gemara in Dav Zayin also, the Gemara keeps saying, dila mizdavin hochem mizdavin hochem. The advantage of the Talkalin is that if you don't sell it here, you could sell it in another place. The advantage is you can get cash from it. So you see, that's why the shita of the Ramah and the Rambam is that cash is always better. Cash is the best payment, and land is the worst payment. Because the hardest thing to exchange into cash is land. You have to go through Beis Din, and you have to have a whole transaction, you have to have a deed. Another metalkalin, you just give to the person, he gives you cash, you put it in his pocket. You have to make a shtar, chazoka. The kinyan on land is harder the kinyan than anything else. And you have problems with people coming in without permission. You can't protect it. You have to make a fence around it. So as far as cashing in something, land is the worst. So the Ramah and the Rambam agree that land is the worst. The only question is, what do they do with shavu kesef? Is it, according to the Rambam, it's just as good? It's mamish top equal with cash. And according to the Ramah, it's two separate levels. So again, it comes up a kitzer when a person had a case where somebody owes him $5,000 for his damages. We have four different shitas. And if you look in the Chazon Ish, goes through the various different shitas on this. He goes even deeper, which is hard for me to even go. But if you get the shitas again, the Rif, first shita, the Rabbeinu Tam, I'm not going to repeat again because it's, I don't want to confuse you. But just remember, the Rif and the Rabbeinu Tam are the two shitas brought down in Tosfos. You have the Ramah that is brought down in the Nebuka Yosef on Daf Zayin. And you have the shita of the Rambam, the Chazon Ish and Siman Zayin, and Sukkot and Hay, discusses these various shitas. If you'll have these four shitas, hopefully you will have finished off the Zman and you go Rosh Hashanah with a feeling of accomplishment. It's a very geschmack. And the way they actually, the way they learn, according to the Ramah and the Rambam, you have to go back into Rav Huna and see how it fits in. That's what the Chazon Ish does. The Chazon Ish brings down a Vilna Goyim that says that the Ramah and the Rambam learn different pshat in the Gemara itself. This is not Stam Pshatim, but their Pshatim came out from the way they saw whatever Rav Huna was saying. So I'm just showing you how delicate these few lines of Rav Huna can make. We'll see you next time. We'll see you next time back after Hashem.